Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, rolling on. Trying to finish an egg sandwich. Got caught in mid-bite. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Assembled members of the hashtag crew have assembled around us. NFL weekend kicks off tonight with about as bad a game as you could ever possibly imagine. Steelers-Patriots, the total, the last I saw the total on ESPN bet was 30. If it dips to 29.5, what did I see this morning in the notes? It'd be the lowest since when? It was some extraordinarily historic over-under.
I think we put it at the lowest in 25 years, which in other words means the lowest in the history of our data set. I don't think there is a game in which the total has been as low and all of the public money is coming in on the under, and it's easy to see why. This is not going to be a masterpiece by any means. I'm sending a prayer right now for Al Michaels.
I'm looking for, where is it? I got some notes. Here it is. Some betting notes. Here it is. The total is at 30.5. This was as of last night. So this came in last night. The total was at 30.5. It dipped below 30 earlier in the day before going back up. If it goes back down to 29.5, it would be the first NFL game since December 26, 1993, to have a total under 30. That's 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years.
That's 30 years.
Oh, gosh.
Parenthetically, right now, the total on Jaguars-Browns Sunday is also 30.5 at ESPN Bet. I mean, that's no Trevor Lawrence, no Deshaun Watson. Again, it has been just an epidemic of quarterback stuff. Now, in the case of I guess Kenny Pickett is hurt, but that wouldn't have changed anything. The problem with Patriots Steelers is that's an epidemic of quarterbacks stinking. Around the league, however, it's been primarily an issue of quarterbacks getting hurt left and right. It's been in that regard, a frustrating season.
Very much so. And I'm kind of fascinated as to why this is occurring. This is the second straight year this is occurring.
Meaning additional quarterback injury?
Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, theoretically, this should be happening less than ever before. Right?
Why?
Because of the way that the league officiates the game. Like, there's so many disincentives for defensive players to play defense the way that they used to. And yet quarterbacks are being hurt at an alarming rate. And I think it's happened for enough time now where we can't chalk it up to small sample size.
No, I can tell you exactly why it's happening.
Tell me.
Because there has never been a time in the history of the NFL where quarterbacks got hit as much as they do today, despite the fact that the league does as much to protect them, which is to say, quarterbacks running with the ball, quote-unquote using their legs, was not a part of football for the first 95 years of the sport, and now it is. You watch these games on Sundays, and on every third down, you hear Tony Romo say, you know, look for the shot outside, if not, quarterback's legs, quarterback's legs, quarterback's legs. That's we get that all the time. These guys get hit like they're running backs, and not all the injuries come on those kind of plays. Obviously, the Trevor Lawrence play is a fluke thing, all of that. But the sport used to be 30, 35 rushing attempts per game. The running backs were the ones who would get worn out and beaten down. Now the quarterbacks are throwing the ball 35, 40, 45 times a game. They're getting hit on some of those plays. They're scrambling to keep the plays alive. They're running for first downs. They're getting hit more than they ever have. They're more athletic than they've ever been before, which also I think leads to a little more of the soft tissue stuff. I think that the way the position has evolved is the reason that it's happened.
That's a point well made. I actually ran this number earlier for Orlovsky, who was asking me just like how much Jalen Hurts is doing this year for the Eagles. And so what I did was I just added up his average number of pass attempts and rush attempts in a given game. And for him, that number is 44. It leads the NFL. We're asking him to make 44 plays a game. That is an astronomical figure. I mean, we're talking about a 25, 30, 35% increase over what you would have asked a quarterback to do 10 years ago. When Tom Brady entered the league, that number would probably be cut in half. If you're making a quarterback make that many decisions in a given game, be exposed to being hit that many times in a given game, maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the number of opportunities in a given game.
You said you did that for Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen?
For Jalen Hurts.
Can you do Josh Allen?
Josh Allen ranks fourth at 41 such plays per game. I mean, it's all the usual suspects at the top. It's Herbert, it's Mahomes, it's Jalen Hurts. But we're asking guys to do everything. Lamar is...
Who are the other usual suspects?
I'm talking about the top quarterbacks in the league. That's what
I mean. That's what I'm asking. Like, who are the names? Do you have the list there?
Jalen Hurts. Sam Howell's actually second because they just throw the ball constantly and never run it. Then it's Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, and Burrow. Those are the players across the league. Because the Ravens do run the ball a lot with their running backs. Lamar Jackson's also stayed healthy this season, unlike a lot of quarterbacks in the league. But a lot of these guys that are healthy aren't actually healthy. I mean, if most Eagles fans had their druthers, they'd love to see Jalen Hurts be able to take a week or two off the way that he did at the end of last year, but that's probably not going to be an option right now.
You're still looking for amazing gifts? At Total Wine & More, you'll find gifts for everyone on your list with the lowest prices for over 30 years. You'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More, spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. Okay, the scoop.
The scoop.
Because this is a season in which quarterbacks' play has been down, injury, lack of effectiveness, for whatever reason, it does feel like a year, if we're going to have one, where someone who doesn't play that position might sneak in and get serious consideration for MVP. So right now at ESPN Bet, the favorite for MVP is Brock Purdy, who's 3-1. Dak is +325 and Jalen Hurts +350. I have to believe that whoever winds up winning, which of those two guys winds up winning the game on Sunday, assuming they play well, will become the favorite come Monday. But Brock Purdy, Dak Prescott, and Jalen Hurts are sort of separated from the field. Then you get Mahomes at 6.5-1. You get Lamar at 7-1. You get Tua at 9-1. Then you get your first non-quarterback at 12-1. Followed by C.J. Stroud, and then Christian McCaffrey, who's 25-1. So the two leading candidates for MVP, and I think at this point I would say the only two legitimate candidates for MVP of the league who do not play quarterback, are Tyreek Hill and Christian McCaffrey. A.J. Brown felt like he was in that conversation for a little while this year. That has ceased. But Tyreek continues to be, well, you were telling me yesterday, there's a way of measuring this that suggests he is definitively having the greatest season any receiver ever had.
Yeah, so Calvin Johnson owns the single-season receiving record. He had 1,964 yards in 2012. So Tyreek Hill's on pace to break that record in his 16th game this year. But Tyreek Hill's having a way better year than Calvin Johnson did in 2012. So Johnson had those 1,964 yards in 2012 and ran 765 routes. That's a lot. So he averaged 2.6 yards per route run. Now, it's not close. That is not close to what Tyreek Hill is doing right now. Tyreek Hill currently has nearly 1,500 yards and has run 333 routes. That's an average of 4.5. Per play, on a per play basis, Tyreek Hill has been 73% more productive than Calvin Johnson in his record-breaking season. Greeny, if Johnson averaged that year what Hill is averaging this year, you know how many yards he would have had?
You told me the other day, but I'm trying to do the sort of the proportionate thing on that. It'd be close to, so like 5,000, something over 5,000.
Calvin Johnson would have had more than 3,400 receiving yards.
3,400 yards. Okay,
in 2012, yeah. At the rate at which Tyreek Hill is catching passes right now.
And there's another factor in this too, because I just went back to look it up to make sure I had this right. The Lions that year were 4-12.
They stunk.
At some point, they had nothing to play for, so they would just throw him the ball
just
all the time.
Throw the ball 50 times a game. And that's what Tyreek Hill, that's what separates Tyreek Hill from Calvin Johnson and from everyone else. I mean, he's having the best receiver season since one of Jerry Rice's best seasons or one of Randy Moss's best seasons. Now, neither of those guys ever won an MVP. I think you could make a cogent argument that Tyreek Hill could or should win that award, but we live in a world now in which the quarterback is always going to win the MVP.
Would you be surprised if Brock Purdy wins it? I will be somewhat surprised if Brock Purdy wins it. I know that I am being painted now on GetUp as being the Brock Purdy Purdy quote-unquote hater. I am certainly not that. Brock Purdy is one of the best stories to come along in the NFL in a really long time. For a player to be drafted where he was, and I know that there isn't that big a difference between being the second to last pick in the seventh round and the last pick, but it sure feels like it, right? That last step is a doozy. We actually give that person the title Mr. Irrelevant. And for him, for Mr. Irrelevant to step in and win MVP in his third year would be, well, it would literally be unprecedented. So I love the story, and I love how well the kid is playing, and I think he's excellent. I do think, however, that there is at least some of this that suggests he is a product of the system, which is to say, I have seen that team win, and win a lot with very, very average quarterback play. So I get that he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo was. I get all of that. But I think if there's one thing Kyle Shanahan has proven, it's that it's easier to be a good quarterback playing in his offense, and especially with the players he has on that team, than it is in a lot of other places. Is that an unreasonable position to take?
It is an unreasonable position.
Tell me why.
So what I did was I looked at the performance of every quarterback that Kyle Shanahan has ever coached, either as a head coach or as a coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you look at the quarterback's numbers individually, any metric you'd like to use, or the performance of those offenses at large, Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy's offenses come out number one in everything that matters. And that is inclusive of Matt Ryan in his MVP winning season in 2016.
Right.
So I don't disagree with you that Kyle Shanahan is a quarterback whisperer and Brock Purdy merely has to color inside the lines. What I'm saying is that he is way better than Jimmy Garoppolo. He's better than Matt Ryan. He's better than RG3, better than Matt Schaub, and better than everyone else that has ever played under Kyle Shanahan.
Okay, I hear you. But with the exception of that one year for Matt Ryan, you did not just name the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I'm not arguing with you that he isn't better than Jimmy Garoppolo. In fact, I think I just said he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo. What I think is worth pointing out is that that team won with Jimmy Garoppolo. It is a testament
not
to
like
just
this.
How good they are.
Not like this.
They went to the Super Bowl. They were the one seed. How many games did they win that year? The year they wound up in the Super Bowl,
13.
Weren't they like 13-3?
13, and they were in another NFC Championship game.
They were in, I think, three NFC Championship games. They beat the Packers
this
on the road.
This team would have been a touchdown favorite against any of those teams. Just because they were good doesn't mean this one isn't great.
Well, I mean, this team has three losses.
They weren't whole in those games, though. They've never lost a game in which they've been whole since he became the starter.
Yeah, but you're putting all kinds of things on it now. Like,
I'm just using the math. I'm just using the facts.
What I'm saying is that if you took, so what you're telling me is that when they don't have Deebo Samuel, or they don't have George Kittle, or they don't have Christian McCaffrey, they don't look the same. That's true of everybody. What I'm saying is he does have Deebo Samuel, he does have Brandon Ayuk, he does have George Kittle, he does have Christian McCaffrey, he does have a, when healthy, completely dominant offensive line. He has an unbelievable defense on the other side that takes a lot of the pressure off what the offense needs to do, and he's got the quarterback whisperer at coach. I'm not trying to diminish what he is doing.
You're just saying he isn't the MVP.
I don't think he's the MVP.
Who is?
I think I would vote for Tyreek Hill ahead of him.
Mm.
I think Tyreek Hill is the overwhelming reason that offense is what it is.
Interesting.
I would vote for Dak ahead of him, depending on where they wind up. Now, San Francisco schmetting them, like there was no, as my mother would say, is does not work in that favor. But if they wind up winning that division, I think Dak wins the award.
Here's the
easily.
Thing. Like, I don't even disagree with you. Like, I wouldn't vote for Brock Purdy as MVP if the season ended today.
Who
but
would you vote for?
I would vote for Jalen Hurts. But the reason I wouldn't vote for Brock Purdy isn't because of any of the things for which you're debiting him for. I would vote for other guys or another guy because I think they have been better and responsible for more. But let's not diminish what Brock Purdy has done because San Francisco was successful before. He is the best quarterback they've ever had, and this is the best team they have ever had, and he should deserve at least some credit
for that.
I know
you don't mean they've ever had. You mean in this era.
This iteration.
Yeah, because San Francisco had Joe Montana and Steve Young. I just want to make sure, because people will only hear that and assume that's not what you meant.
Nice save.
In this particular moment in time, yes, I agree. He is playing better than anyone else has during this iteration of the Packers, of the Niners. This is Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. We come to you live every morning from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. It's everybody's favorite time, sneaky Hembo trivia. Go.
The Patriots and the Steelers are playing what they are calling a football game tonight, and they are the two winningest teams in the NFL during the 21st century. Group trivia, you're going to fill out the rest of that top five.
Top five winningest teams. So you got New England, Pittsburgh. Top five winningest teams in the 21st century. Does that include the 2000 season?
It does.
Okay. Including the 2000 season, the next three winningest franchises in the NFL, next on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We will, in 30 seconds, we'll try and get the answer to this trivia question, which is a really good question. It requires three answers. I think I've got two of them. At least I have two of them I feel good about. I'm really agonizing over the third. So we'll get to those in 30 seconds after this word from Farm Fresh. Christmas trees. Get real and keep it real this holiday season by buying real Christmas trees. Did you know that buying real Christmas trees helps save the American Christmas tree farming industry? For every 10 Christmas trees planted, an acre of land is saved, and so are American farmers' jobs. Plus, buying real Christmas trees helps keep real holiday memories alive while helping our environment. Buy real Christmas trees this holiday season at Lowe's or wherever Christmas trees are sold. Get more information online at GetRealKeepItReal.com.
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
I think this question is hard, but it is interesting. To me, the judge of a good trivia question is, do I want to know the answer? If I'm listening, and I'm not guessing right now in your car or wherever you are listening, are you thinking, boy, I really would like to know the answer to this? If the answer to that is, I don't really care, that makes it a bad trivia question, whether it's easy or hard. This one, I do think, is very interesting.
Well, thank you.
So I like the question. Ask it again.
So the Patriots and the Steelers, they play in a rock fight tonight. They are the two winningest NFL teams during the 21st century. And what I've asked the three of you to do is fill out the remainder of the top five.
So this is going to be a group, right? We're not, you said group. We're not trying to do this individually.
Correct.
We're
this
going
is
to
a
do
group.
It as a group.
You are collectively deciding on which three teams you are positing.
And so Brandon has already given his guesses. All right. And his are locked in. So he can't benefit from us and we can't benefit from him. So Bubba and Cam, let's think this through.
Yep.
It's got to be places where really good quarterbacks played for a long time. So my first inclination is to say Green Bay.
I was thinking that as well.
In the 2000s, they've had Favre and Rodgers. They've been in the playoffs basically every year.
I like the sound of that.
Be very surprised if they're not in there. I was thinking of the Colts because Peyton won all those games all those years, and then they had one terrible year, and then they got luck, and they made the playoffs. So they weren't that they only bottomed out for one quick year, and during Peyton's time there, every year they were like 13-3, 14-2.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about them, and I'm really struggling to come up with a third.
Yeah, I got a couple. The Eagles have been really good almost every single year, 5-6 NFC Championship games.
What am I missing between Andy Reid and Nick Sirianni? What happened? Why can't I remember what happened
there was,
in between?
There was Chip Kelly. And
that was bad. But wait a minute. Doug Peterson, and they went to the Super Bowl.
And Chip Kelly had two 10-win seasons for Chip Kelly.
That's so okay.
It wasn't awful. I think the Eagles are on the table here. I also think Ravens is a good one. Bubba brought up.
Yeah, that was the one.
Ravens have been good
of.
Almost every single
Ravens
year.
Ravens are never bad.
Yeah. I think they had a couple bad years with like Kyle Bowler or something, but they were never.
But even those were not
the
like
worst
they were
years.
Awful.
And
yeah.
then, you know, the 06 team was incredible, and then they won.
Yeah, I mean, they were rolling
they
with
won
Billick.
It in 12. So, and I don't think the Chiefs are off the table. I think they were decent in the early 2000s, and they've been winning 12 games for like a decade
and
now.
Reed's been
so.
There forever.
I thought of them too.
Yeah.
We got a lot of options here.
Yeah.
So I think we're all agreed on the Packers,
I think
right?
Packers
we're definitely
going to
go
one.
Packers.
Yeah.
Bubba, pick one of the others to lock in.
I think Chiefs.
Okay, we're going to go Packers, Chiefs.
I think Chiefs.
And one more. Cam, what do you want to lock in?
How strongly do you feel Colts? I feel like they were that's a good guess. They had like one bad season, and then you know the last couple have been up
I feel
and down.
Decent about
if you're
Colts.
Thinking,
I don't feel great about Colts. I feel okay about Colts.
I think Colts, Packers, Chiefs is not bad. The only one I'd be questioning is Chiefs, and I would, you know, Eagles would be one, Ravens would be one. I'd be willing to swap out, but I think we can't go wrong. It's three strong guesses, no matter what.
Okay, all right. That's what we're gonna do. That's gonna be our final answer. Is gonna be you don't need the order, right? You just need the five.
Well, what was Brandon's guess?
Too? I don't need the order. I just want you guys to go one at a time with your buzzers and your dings. Brandon went Steelers, 49ers. Chiefs and Ravens. Those were his three.
49ers.
I think they had too many bad years.
Chiefs
in there.
And Ravens. Yeah, they had terrible records until Harbaugh got there. I couldn't make up my own mind what year Harbaugh got there. From then on, they've been good. But
he
was
there from 12 to 16.
Yeah,
it was
so
not
that's
long.
That's like 10 years of being bad before he got there. Okay.
Is it possible the Cowboys are going to be up there?
It's possible. But I thought there was also a dormant – like, that's missing the Jimmy Johnson years completely.
Sure. Yeah, early 2000s, they were not good.
We got to lock something in here.
Packers.
Go one at a time.
We're definitely going Packers.
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go.
Packers are third.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Nice.
Does that mean that Brandon's already out? I forget what he said.
Brandon's out.
He left out okay, Brandon's already out.
See ya, Brandon.
Go next.
Okay. So, what do you think next?
Go with Colts.
You want to go with Colts? You feel good about that, Bubba?
I like Colts. That makes sense.
We're going with...
Colts is correct.
Okay.
Woo!
Let's go.
Nice job.
Come on.
So we got a chance to
one more.
Adjust
so
here.
It's Ravens,
Ravens,
Eagles,
Chiefs, Eagles. Yeah.
Or Chiefs.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the three I like. I feel like it's going to be one of those three. I don't think it's going to be Cowboys. I'll feel like an idiot if it is. I think it's going to be Ravens, Chiefs, or Eagles.
Chiefs had a couple of down years there for a little while. Philly,
I'm not going to lie.
First, you got to eliminate one.
Have the Ravens had any down years? I mean,
they've had a couple bad ones.
Not terrible.
I feel like they're always in there.
I kind of do too.
The Chiefs had some bad years.
Oh boy. Greeny, you make the call.
I think, okay.
I like Baltimore.
In the interest of time, we will go with the Baltimore Ravens.
The correct answer is the Ravens.
Oh my God!
In what order?
Yes.
Patriots 1, Steelers 2, Packers 3, Colts 4, tied with the Ravens. So they both are tied at 228 wins, and the Eagles are 6th with 227.
Oh, wow. We nailed that.
That's
how you do it.
I was chalk one up for the good guys.
Sit down, Brandon.
The Chiefs, by the way, 9th. at 214.
Okay. Very well done. All right, Cam. So we all get a win.
Think it
That's
through.
Correct.
Well
got
done.
It.
What's the score there?
Very well done.
Planning on looking this since it was all as a group, but we all get a win. So I'm 15-26. Bubba's 13-28. Greeny's 10-31. I don't think Brandon gets a win on that one.
That's Brandon does not
Brandon
get
Brandon got it wrong.
4-14. And Mark Cuban and Dominique Foxworth are 0-1.
Okay, fair enough. That's well done. I like it. Okay, so now we're going to try something entirely new. This was Bubba and Cam's idea. So I will set it up briefly, and then I will let them take over and let them execute it because this was their concept. But as I think I have mentioned many times, we have for this show, hashtag Greeny, a Google Doc that all of us have access to, and those guys put a bunch of stories in it every day. Hembo and I will put stories in it every day, and anyone that wants to, or anyone else who has access to it, I guess, can contribute stories. And a lot of them just sort of live at the top of the document, and they just sit there, and if they don't wind up making it into the show, they keep sitting there, and some of them have been sitting there a while. And Bubba, that got you to thinking.
Correct. So we're going to do a segment called Dump the Doc.
Correct.
We're dumping the doc. We're getting those stories that we've been neglecting, but we're not going to neglect them forever. So we want to get to those stories. We're going to throw them out to you and Hembo. We're going to get your opinion.
Okay.
So we can't neglect them forever.
Got it.
So we're going to get them. First
so these
question.
Are interesting stories yep. we didn't get to.
We've had them on the doc forever. We keep pushing them off. We push them off because of other stories, but they're still timely. We can still talk about them.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So first one up. We talked about it for a while. Super Bowl coming up soon. It's been floated the idea of having a Super Bowl in London. Roger Goodell says it's a distant possibility. Would you like to see a Super Bowl played in London?
Absolutely, positively not. The Super Bowl is the ultimate celebration in this country of Americana. We don't have many of those left. We have so few things left as a culture, as a nation, that we all like, that we all communally enjoy. And while we probably still would if the game was being played in London and all the same rich business people who wind up going to the game wherever it is will wind up going there, they will just feel different. Maybe 30 years from now, if there's been a franchise there for a long time, that would feel different. I would like to see it moved around to different places. There is some challenge in that. I cannot tell you, having just done the draft 3 years, how much I have enjoyed going to these cities and seeing the fans turning out for this celebration of football. We did Cleveland, we did Vegas, we did Kansas City, and in all three cases, and of course you've all seen on TV many more, they did Chicago, Philly, Dallas, Nashville, etc. But the three that I've been involved with, the energy is incredible. I'd love to see the Super Bowl go to some other markets. Now, it's challenging because of weather. We did it here in New York once. They got incredibly lucky. That was the Peyton Manning versus the Seahawks Super Bowl. The weather was ridiculously good. For New York in early February, I think the day was like 50 degrees. It was perfect weather. You would be scared to death to put a Super Bowl at Soldier Field, Lambeau Field, etc. But I would like to see the Super Bowl moved around to be played in front of some other fans if there was a way to do it. But to answer the initial question, no, I would not like to see it outside the U.S.
Neither would I. I think it's an American thing. It should stay an American thing. It seems like an unforced error. So I will say no. Mm-hmm. Don't throw it in London.
All right. I'm going to read you a roster. This is the 2017 Alabama Crimson Tide. Is this the greatest college football team ever? Here we go. Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Mac Jones, Najee Harris, Josh Jacobs, Brian Robinson, Damian Harris, Devontae Smith, Calvin Ridley, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Irv Smith, Daron Payne, Quinnen Williams, Raekwon Smith, Fedarian Mathis, Rashawn Evans, Trayvon Diggs, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Xavier McKinney, and Levi Wallace. All of those players were on the same 2017 Alabama Crimson Tide team. Is that the greatest college football team ever?
So I remember when this was on the document, and I remember when it was sort of this conversation circulated a little bit. The one that might have been able, if I'm remembering this correctly, that people were saying might compare to it, one of those teams at the U.
Yeah, that was mine, the 0-1 Hurricanes.
So did you still have handy who was on those teams?
Yeah, I mean, it was Ken Dorsey, who was like the least of the best players, Clinton Portis, McGahee, Najee Davenport, Frank Gore. Those are just the running backs.
Right.
Shockey, Andre Johnson, Bryant McKinney, Jerome McDougal, William Joseph, Vince Wilfork, Jonathan Vilma, DJ Williams, Ed Reed, Philip Buchanan, Kellen Winslow, Sean Taylor, Antrell Roll. That's
it's ridiculous.
Pretty much
it's
it.
Like
yeah.
a, it's a
most of those
a Pro
people
Bowl
were
roster.
Backups too. Like that's the
yeah.
It was
in both
unbelievable.
Cases. That's like a Pro Bowl roster.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember 2017. Which year was that? Who did they play in that? Was that the year they played Georgia? Was that the year of the? Was that the year before the
yes.
overtime touchdown?
That was the Tua touchdown.
That was the team that won the championship on the last. So how good Georgia must have been, you know, to have been right there with them. I would have to say yes. I would have to say that is the most loaded roster. The two you just read to me, the Miami one is ridiculous, but I'll take the Alabama
That
one.
Team did lose a game, though. That Alabama team lost to Auburn that year.
They lost, was that the kick six? No. That would be too long ago.
No, this was 2017.
Who, Auburn beat them?
Yeah.
Remind me of that game.
I'll pull up the box score.
Auburn beat them, and then Alabama turned around and won the...
It was 26-14. Jared
Stidham.
I don't think it was a particularly
it was a memorable,
notable game.
It was a memorable game.
Was Alabama's quarterback Jalen Hurts?
It was.
Yeah, that was when he got benched in the national championship.
Right, but I mean, at that point, it still was Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, he played
that's the question.
The whole
season. Like, are we saying what is the best collection of players in terms of like what they wound up in the NFL or the best college team? Because that Miami team in 2001 would have dump trucked this 2017 Alabama team. I think
you do.
Yeah,
what makes you say that?
That 2001 Miami team had more high level, like high level players. Like Hall of Fame type talents and like high level performers in the NFL across the whole.
Well, so did this one.
Not as many.
I think it still remains to be seen for this one, but I think they're pretty comparable. I would probably go with the Miami team.
I mean, that Miami team was just unbelievable.
I mean, this team had Jalen Hurts and Tua.
The average game that Miami played that year was 43-9.
Right.
That team was insane.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with it. It's a good question. I'm going to, for the purposes of moving on to the next one, I'll say yes, but I understand the argument on the other side. It's a new feature called Dump the Doc. What's next?
All right, to baseball. We've been talking about the Yankees a lot today with Juan Soto going there, and he would hopefully one day maybe have his number in Monument Park. One person who would love to have his number there is Alex Rodriguez. He says he should have his number 13, retired at Monument Park. Should the Yankees do that?
I think I'm going to say no. It's hard to say. Look, I like Alex, and I think that he has done as good a job of repairing all of the damage that was done, that he did, of acknowledging, of accepting the blame and the wrong and the hurt for it all. But he is a Monument Park worthy player, right?
I mean, no doubt.
He just took his Yankee seasons. He got there in what, 04?
Yeah, and he hit 350 home runs for the Yankees.
Right. So he would have had a decade of being one of the two or three best players in baseball.
He won two MVPs. I mean, he would be the best player excluded from Monument Park. If you're just looking at the numbers, if you're looking at the data. But there's a lot more to look at with
him. Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like not just the fact that he was using steroids, in his case, he acknowledges it. But the way that all went down, the way he went after baseball and everything else, went after the Yankees, again, I think he's done as admirable a job of making amends as could humanly be done as a result of that. Should it keep him out of, like, Monument Park is almost a higher honor if you're a Yankee than being in the Hall of Fame. There are Hall of Famers, Yankee Hall of Famers, who are not in Monument Park. What do you think?
I would not put A-Rod in, at least not yet. I mean, he was an embarrassing figure for the Yankees. He was suspended for the entire 2014 season. It's the longest suspension of its kind in the history of baseball.
Right.
I mean, there's no question that he's worthy, but that's not the question. I mean, the question with A-Rod regarding Monument Park is actually very similar to the one with him in the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's going to wind up in either, at least not anytime soon.
Well, the Hall of Fame comes with a whole lot of other nonsense. Like, which is to say, we've allowed a bunch of people to make decisions based on whatever criteria they want. This one is just decided by the Yankees, right?
Right.
They could just decide whoever they want. Do they want to celebrate him in that regard? You're literally putting him in the room with Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and Joe DiMaggio and Yogi Berra. That's what you're doing.
I ain't doing it. At least not yet.
It's a tough choice. My gut feeling is that they won't, at least not soon. I'll go with that. I'll go with, I think, a little more time and a little more water under the bridge have to go by. Let's do at least one more here. I like this feature.
Lawrence Taylor said on Tom Brady's podcast the other day that if he played in today's era of the NFL, he would probably end up owing the league money from fines accrued due to how the game has changed and is officiated now. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely true. Dick Butkus, the same. You know, we did a bunch of work on both Dick Butkus and Lawrence Taylor for our book. And the one thing I can tell you is if you just watched the football. So my son is a 20-year-old. Actually, his birthday's in a few days. He'll be 21. Year-old, hardcore, passionate football fan, lives and dies with the Jets, lives and dies with his fantasy team, all of that. If you show my son a clip reel of Lawrence Taylor or Dick Butkus, he wouldn't believe that that was the sport. He'd be like, Dad, what? They were allowed to do that? Like, you wouldn't believe it. That's when you realize how much the game has changed, to the everlasting credit of the people who changed it, and to, I would hope, like, the embarrassment of all of those who said it was going to ruin football. The reality of it is the game is not the same. Lawrence Taylor, maybe he could have adjusted the way he played, but the stuff he did, the stuff Dick Butkus did, the stuff of players, of the best players, the nastiest players of that era, absolutely, they would have been suspended. He would have been banned for life during his first season.
Cam, this was on Tom Brady's podcast, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Okay, so the thing that's weird to me about this, because Tom Brady's engaged in rhetoric like this, like Tom Brady's talking about football like he wasn't playing last year,
right?
Which is so bizarre. I mean, that's how long Tom Brady played.
Back in my day,
I actually find it to be very attractive when former players complain about current players and league. Like, I think it's actually a very unattractive thing that we do. It's bad for the sport. No one does it worse than baseball, than old baseball players. And a lot of them are, like, unfortunately, like the faces of the league now in terms of the media. I just don't like it. I don't, even if it's true. To me, it doesn't serve any positive purpose.
All right, we got a bunch of predictions to make. We got a bunch of picks, Hembo knows, and much more. Stay there. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio as we wrap things up here on a busy Thursday. Looking forward to tonight. We got two NBA in-season tournament semifinals. We'll dive into that. We got an NFL game tonight, which while it might not be the most compelling game from an artistic standpoint, still does involve all the requisite gambling and everything else. And so we'll get you set for all of that. A couple of historic betting lines. that we're going to jump into in a minute here. But first, I'm going to give you a couple of statistics that I think are just remarkable. You ready for this? Jalen Hurts this year has scored 31 touchdowns. He has accounted for 31 individual touchdowns. That is more than the New York Jets and the New England Patriots have scored combined. Jalen Hurts has accounted for more touchdowns this season than the Jets and Patriots combined. And then here's where it gets really bad. Jalen Hurts doesn't even lead the league in that category. Josh Allen is ahead of him. There are two players in the NFL who have scored more touchdowns this year than the Jets and the Patriots have combined. And Patriots have combined to score 29 touchdowns. The Patriots and Jets. Jalen Hurts has 31. Josh Allen has 33. More notes on the Patriots who play tonight. You've probably seen this, but I just need to say it out loud because it's so remarkable. They've allowed 26 points over their last three games combined and lost all three. It is the fewest points allowed by any team over a three-game span since the start of 1950. It's been three quarters of a century since a team allowed that few points in three consecutive games and lost them all. The Patriots are the first team to lose three straight games despite allowing 10 or fewer points since the Chicago Cardinals did it in 1938. The Cardinals then subsequently moved to St. Louis and then Arizona. That's three cities ago was the last time any team lost three straight games despite allowing 10 or fewer points. It's incredible how inept some of this offensive football has been. And so with that, let's do a KOD pick.
Hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
The total I'm looking at on ESPN Bet right now is 30.5. Patriots at Steelers, Pittsburgh -6. What do we like?
I would sweat out the under if you're really so inclined, but I'd rather play a player prop here. I'm going to play under 181.5 passing yards for Mitchell Trubisky in this game, which is about the average that the Steelers pass for on a game-to-game basis. But the Patriots' defense is really good, and the Steelers can run the ball a lot more effectively than they can pass it. I don't think he's getting close to 200 yards. 181.5, 5.5 feels like about the right number, but I'm definitely playing the under there for sure.
Do you have numbers in front of you on like the New England offense? Like I don't have it open in front of me, which I should. Like, what is the prop on the Patriots' offense?
I think it's 11.5 total points.
Total points.
Yeah. I mean, I can't play the over in anything today.
Right. No.
But they're so historically, like, hilariously low that I think that's what they're dying for you to do. But I think you're wasting your money if you're going to play, like, if you're going to play over 30 points. I mean, they might not get to 20 points.
The opposite of that, if you want to watch points being scored in sports tonight, put on ESPN. Because at 5 o'clock Eastern time, we have the Pacers and the Bucks, which currently has an over-under total of 254.5 on ESPN Bet. That would be the highest over-under since March of 1991. So the game between the Pacers and Bucks, and the Pacers are one of these super high-efficiency offenses, and the Bucks just scored 146 points against the best defense in the NBA the other night. This has the highest total of any NBA game in the last 32 years. How do you like tonight?
I'm playing the Bucks over their side. It's 131.5. Keep in mind, this is a Bucks team that just hung 146 points on the Knicks, the best scoring defense in the NBA. And Indiana is incompetent defensively. I think the Bucks are going to score as many points as they want to tonight, and that's going to be more than 131.5.
I think both teams are going to play super hard, too. So that's the point. Because of the the unprecedented nature of what it is we're going to see tonight. And this has never happened before. I think these teams are going to play like it's a playoff game. Now, that becomes an interesting question. Do the Pacers suddenly play defense in a way they normally don't? Because NBA playoff games slow down. Do we expect this to slow down the way a playoff game
No, will? This is going to be played at a frenetic pace. The Pacers' issue is not their effort. They just stink on defense.
I get it.
Yeah, I think this game will be played about as... Like, if we're going to play the NFL game tonight in black and white, this game is going to be in color. I like the over in on this side with the Bucks, and probably the over in the game. These are two of the best offensive teams literally ever, if you're looking how good they are possession for possession.
Cam, did you say you had something?
Yeah, sorry if I missed if you mentioned it, but it's now up to 257.5.
Okay, no, I didn't. I'm looking at the number that climbing. I had earlier. 257.5.
Whew. Could anything be more different happening concurrently, like that AFC game tonight and then this basketball
That's
game?
My point. like, how many individual players in tonight's basketball game will score more points than the Patriots and Steelers will combined? Nothing is funnier to me than the fact that last week the over-under on points for Iowa to score was 0.5, and they scored zero. It went under. I know that was only the first half total, but even so, the total was 0.5, and it went under. You had to take the under at 0.5.
All you needed was one safety.
Would have screwed you. Even the Jets could do that.
They could do that in their sleep.
Oh, my God. All right, and then we got a little Hembo nose here. We haven't been able to get this in. You've had some picks on the upcoming college football playoff games that we haven't had a chance to get into the show, but I want to.
Jumping into the numbers. This is Hembo Knows.
Now that all the controversy has died down about Florida State, it just is what it is. There's no point in yelling about it anymore. The decisions have been made. And so now the time has come to start making your picks and making your bets and whatever else is you like. And I see on my screen you've got two you like.
Yeah, as soon as the bracket came out, I placed these two bets. The first was just for Alabama to beat Michigan in that game on the money line. Nick Saban has won 6 consecutive playoff semifinals, and the average score in those games was 32-11. Now, Michigan's better than most, if not all, of those teams, but I do think that by the time this game goes live, this will be much closer to a pick'em. I got plus money on that side. That's why I took the Crimson Tide.
I'm thinking about Michigan's game 2 years ago against Georgia when they got waxed. Last year's game against TCU was a barn burner, but then we saw what Georgia did to them. So one wonders, you know, does the SEC is this an example of the SEC just being that level of dominant?
I think it's less to do with the SEC and more to do with the fact that I think it's unlikely that Michigan will know what play is coming. Okay. Oh, that wasn't a joke.
No, I understand that, but I mean, it took me by surprise, so I liked it. All right, that's one pick you like. What's the other one?
Texas to win the Natty. I'm most confident among those two games that Texas is going to be the one that wins. And so, if I have the chance to get them a 3-1 shot to win the national championship, I think it's the best value on the board because the Rose Bowl is going to be practically a coin flip. I think Texas beats Washington and beats whomever wins the Rose Bowl.
Okay, fair enough. I like the picks and I like the logic behind them. Again, ESPN Radio right here, your home for the in-season tournament games tonight. Enjoy it. I think it should be a lot of fun. I'm certainly going to be watching, and I will see you back and better than ever here to talk about it tomorrow on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.